Welcome to episode 34 of Skyjacks, Courier's Call. I'm your host and narrator, Drew Merzieski. I'm joined by Allison Grauer, Palomi Pertap, and Aaron Catano-Sayez to bring you a story of adventure, skyships, mail carriers, and kids just like you. Last time, Kieran, Cece, and June made it to the top of the Red Feather Tower and managed to find the signal they were looking for just in time. But whoever is signaling them is way out in the salt flats beyond Teshur, and Phileas Youngblood is close behind them. When last we left, our brave apprentices had grabbed hold of each other to make a leap of faith. But will the Youngbloods catch up? Heed the call, couriers. Stand to, and let's fly.
Gone are the days when it was easy to ride,
singing way, hey, ho.
But the years haven't withered my joy and my pride,
singing way, hey, ho.
I've never been much for the pistol or blade,
singing way, hey, ho.
For the sun is my course and the sky is my trade,
singing way, hey, ho.
My mother, she told me that life would be fine if you're free with the water but savor the wine, and to never be hurried but always on time,
singing way, hey, ho. Singing way, hey, ho.
We begin in free fall. We see the three of you leap off the building and are now in midair.
Oh, June! Wake up! You better be a bird or something when you wake up, because we're gonna die!
There! And you guys hit at the last second. There is a as you guys land inside of a gondola that was going right underneath you guys.
Ugh.
As you guys jumped.
Oh.
We see the gondola. Help. We see this gondola. It kind of looks like a river raft. It's kind of that kind of shape.
Cool.
Kind of wide. It's got the seats in the middle. There is a like triangular sail on it and some like guide sails off to the side. The one thing that we do see as the audience, as you guys land inside of it, is that the feather weave is actually on the bottom of it. So there is a little furnace underneath the feather weave that's on the bottom of the boat. So it's lifting the boat that way.
Cool.
And it's not above you. So you're able to actually land into it. There's a boonk as you guys land in the boat. The boat kind of shakes back and forth. The three of you are kind of sprawled out in the middle of it. Hey, what's going on here? Hey, somebody in my boat? What's going on? There is a man, probably in his 50s or so, sitting at the back of the boat. He's got like guidelines, like they were kite strings, and he's moving the boat that way.
Cool.
And his face is kind of in shadow, and he's like, whoa, what's going on here? Who jumped into my boat? Did somebody jump into my boat? Teenagers! Teenagers in the boat! Whoa, teenagers! And he like kind of wraps the ropes around and stands up. He's tall. He's kind of gangly. He's, like I said, you can't really see his face yet, but he's wearing kind of not torn up, but well-patched clothes and kind of loose-fitting as he moves over to where you guys, where the three of you are landed in the bottom of this gondola. And we see his face. He's got a cloth wrapped around his eyes. And he goes, who's there? Is anybody there?
Sorry, sir.
Are you teenagers?
Yes.
Faith says you're teenagers.
We are teenagers. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's okay. Where'd you come from?
Up.
You jumped into my boat?
It was an emergency.
Yes.
And you're okay, right?
I think so.
I'm definitely going to be sore in the morning, but I think I'll be fine.
Nothing's broken. Where are you? You see him like touching around.
Kieran is kind of like checking themselves too, like their back and patting themselves down. And then I think sort of scoots over so that this gondola driver.
Yeah.
Gondolier.
Gondolier.
Oh, is that really so, it?
That's what
they're called.
The gondolier.
Let me use the correct word there. So that this gondolier can kind of get a hand on their shoulder.
And we see the hand rest on your shoulder, Kieran. And the man goes and kind of moves his hand around, kind of guesses your height and helps you up.
Thanks.
What's your name, kids? What do you want? What's going on here? What are you jumping from? What are you running from?
So we are getting chased. Hi, we're couriers, the Swiftwell Courier Service. And Cece's putting on like the little kid charm. Like we're Swiftwell Couriers, and we had to jump because we were being chased. And our friend June, she's in like, I don't know, something happened, and she's in like a state, like a trance or something. And like, you're really helping us out. We're in a bind.
And we see the camera kind of turn over. And June, what do we see?
June has landed. I believe when we jumped off, June was in the middle, and Cece and Kieran were sort of hugging her on either side. And so when they landed, June landed in the middle, and I think kind of rolled onto her side and then onto her back, as the other two got up. She looks like she's in one piece, but her eyes are open, and there is like a golden shimmer moving through her gaze. Like, it's a really bad example, but like one of those plastic magic wands as a kid that's full of like a glitter liquid, and you tilt Ooh. It one way and all the glitter goes to one yeah. end and the glitter goes, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. It's
that's like cool. that, but it's this like sort of shimmery honey golden glitter that sort of is moving through her eyes as she stares cool. blankly in front of her.
I love that. Can I get, real quick from the three of you, can I get just a strength roll? Just a strong.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So just roll a strong.
My weakness.
And
do I have to add anything, or is it just
nope,
that?
No, it's just that.
It's a three.
Okay.
And a one.
Okay.
A three.
Okay. What I need is, I need, Kieran, you rolled a one on that.
I did.
You take a D4 stress in injured.
Oh, no.
How you hurt?
Oh, hang on. Let me mark this D4 stress. So I think while Kieran was sort of explaining everything to the gondolier, they were checking themselves, like, to see if there was anything broken, and kind of continued the conversation a little bit more focus once they kind of got a feel for, you know, nothing's broken, ribs are fine, all of that. But I think Cece starts talking about June, and Kieran kind of turns their attention to June, crouches in front of her to kind of get a read on her physical wellness, and I think realizes as they're reaching forward that like their shoulder took a lot of that impact. So it's sort of just sprained. Moving their arm forward sucks right now.
Okay.
So there's this moment where they're like, oh, okay, I'm not doing that. And then reaches out for June in it with the other arm.
June, we have a moment where we see Kieran touch you and kind of use you to like stabilize themselves. But we notice that you don't respond at all.
Yeah.
What's going on with you? Where are you right now?
So I think the camera zooms all the way in on the golden shimmer in June's eyes. And when it comes out the other side, we are seeing there's some sort of raptor bird in the dark, riding the thermal air high above the desert, above the salt flats. And it's enjoying the thermals. It's riding. And it obligingly went closer to the flashing light out in the desert to see what was going on. Saw that there were people there signaling to the tallest tower.
So here's something I wanted to figure out real quick with you. I want to figure out what is the level that's happening here. You mm-hmm. have right now.
Yeah.
What is it? It's a D8. So it's pretty strong. It's pretty strong magic. How much of this bird is you, and how much of this bird is the bird?
That's a great question. The way I think it is...
Remember, it's at a D8.
D8. So I think that June... It's sort of like June, when she went into this state, it's kind of like she rang a bell or like waved a little flag. And this is the bird that saw the flag waving or like responded to the bell. Like when you go into a shop and you ring a bell and then somebody comes to the counter, right?
Or you put your hand up for a taxi.
Yeah, yeah. This is the bird that happened to go, oh, hey, what's up? when she sent out this signal, right? And as such, June is not controlling this bird, but June has said, hey, can I borrow you for a second? I need to see something. And this bird was like, yeah, cool. That's fine. I'm already out here. Might as well hop on. So June is sort of like riding shotgun in this bird's head as it flies. Okay. So the bird is still doing what it wants, but June said, hey, can we go closer to this thing? And the bird said, yeah, cool, and did it. And now the bird is flying, and June is still looking through this bird's eyes, and she hasn't gone back to her body yet for some reason.
I want you to roll the D8. Just a D8, no adding, no anything to it. Just a D8.
4?
I just need you to roll it.
No, 4.
Oh. For what, Drew?
Whoa. What if I don't roll?
For what?
That's great. What I'm going to say is that is because it's a D8, that is the magic that you're using. So we're going to continue to have you roll a D8 mm-hmm. to like see how well this goes. The bird continues to follow your command. So it is going further and further into the desert to go find out what that light was.
Mm-hmm.
You can step out of it. But again, it's going to take a recovery action to do it because right now your identity is gone. You are just this bird in this bird right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see that. We see the bird continue to fly through the night sky towards where that light was. And as we see it on this cloudless sky, this big moon in the background as it goes through over this desert, we pull backwards through its eye and through this vortex of gold out your eye. And we see Cece, Kieran, and this gondolier sitting there, and the gondolier's like, so you jumped off the tower?
Yeah, we were getting chased.
By some...
That's like... Faith, how tall is that? And we see from the shadows comes a parrot, like a macaw. And the parrot is this beautiful kind of blue and yellow and green, like all these different colors kind of modeled together. And it kind of jumps out and lands on this gondolier's shoulder and goes, 100 feet? 100 feet? No? 50 feet? To which the guy goes, you're never good with numbers, Faith, and kind of moves it away. That's a tall order, kids. You jumped. You're okay, right?
I mean, we'll make it, but we got to figure something out. We're still, I'm sure they can see us from here, right? That's a question for Drew.
Oh, I'm going to have you, Cece, make a, I want you to roll to see. I want to see how well you do here. So I'm just going to have you roll a very simple, since this is a simple thing. This isn't like, I don't see this particular move as one that is necessary for like a full pool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have you just roll one of your attributes and we'll see how well that goes.
Then I'm going to use obviously one of my better ones. Then I'm going to use clever. I guess.
Excellent.
And
let's do it.
Knight, what do I add to this? Nothing.
Nothing. You're
Dang.
Not gonna roll
3.
A 3. So
I cover my hands, my eyes with my hands, apparently.
Like you shield your eyes and look up. And the thing is, you guys have been moving forward this entire time.
Mm.
So the
How
tower
fast is it moving?
It's moving. I'm gonna say you guys are going like maybe 7-8 miles an hour.
So okay. It's not very fast.
So it's not very fast,
just
but it's
a little faster.
But
than
it's
like
fast enough
speed.
To cruise and get away from the tower. So you look up and you can't really see the top, and you can't really see if anybody's up there or if anybody is following you.
Okay, but dang it, we gotta get this. We have a very important delivery to make, and our friend is. I don't know if she's hurt. My other friend is definitely hurt.
Yeah,
and we need your help really bad right now.
The gondolier like scratches his kind of like scruffy little beard. He's got like 5 o'clock. He's got like a 5 o'clock shadow going on. Kind of rubs his forehead, kind of looking around. He seems on the fence on whether to help you or not. Cece, I would love for you to make a roll. And this is one that's worth a pool.
Okay. Then this is respect is earned, not given. I'm going to do
Excellent.
That.
So that's a D8.
Got it. And then I'm adding attributes and stuff.
An attribute and then either a relationship or a signature asset.
So I'm going to add brave, which is another D8, and I'm going to add my relationship with Kieran.
Excellent.
Nice.
Excellent. Let's do that.
So 7 5, 1.
All right, you got a 1, so yeah. I got to mark that. And give me the 2 highest.
7 and 5.
All right, and that is a
12. Powerful 12.
All right. They rolled a 10, so you did it. Tell me what you say to this guy.
Cece has been, like, kind of holding June up. Like, Cece's been sitting, like, holding up June, like, shouting, like, June, like, come on, come on, come back, come back. And she lays June down on the gondola and stands up and says, Mr. Gondolier, I know you don't know us. I know we literally fell out of the sky, and I hate that this has inconvenienced your day. But you have an opportunity here to change the course of history and to save our lives. And if you can do that, and she gestures to Kieran, you can help this young person. She gestures to June. You can help this young person. And she puts her hand across her heart and says, and you can help this person. If all you have to do is help us out today, you can change the fate of the world.
There's a long pause. And the guy shrugs, puts his hands in the air and goes, that's a heck of a speech.
It's what I do.
I could tell. And you know what? I guess I'm going to help you then.
Let's
do it. Who can say no to that? And he goes and he sits back down. He picks up the controls for the gondola. And it is like a metal rod that's got, that connects to a single string. It's like when you are water skiing and you have that handhold, like one of those. It's like too small of those that he begins to move it back and forth. He goes, where do you want to go, kids? Just got to tell me.
The sparkle in the desert. There's a flash of light down there, and I need you to guide us down there safely.
You don't have like an address in the city or someplace like that?
I'm afraid that's the best we can do. Kieran, do you see anything?
I think Kieran kind of shifts to the front of the gondola and surveys the desert. Is that light still flashing?
So as you guys are right now that you've jumped off of that, you are in the Spire district. So there's actually a lot of tall towers around you as you guys are moving through them on this gondola. There's actually also other gondolas in the sky and kites and things like that. So you're no longer at the very top. You're now kind of like in a middling top level, and you can't really see the desert from where you are. There's buildings in the way, there's big towers in the way, and there's lights everywhere. And so you're having a hard time. But Kieran, I would love for you to, since this is going to be rather difficult, pull together a pool and see what you see.
I'm going to use Dangerous Curiosity. So that's a D8. That being the thing that Kieran uses to peer at stuff. It's distinctions, attributes, and relationships, correct?
Yep. Those are the three. And if you want to add something different, if you want to like not use a relationship, but use a signature asset or a reputation or something like that, you can do that too.
Got it. Trying to think attribute-wise. I think clever makes the most sense. That's another D8.
You can always just get a D4.
You know what? I'm going to use skilled at sketches.
Okay.
That's detail oriented. I like that. Kieran was.
It's detail oriented. Yeah.
What do we got? I have a 3, a 7, and a 5.
All right. That's a 12.
Yeah.
In this wash of light and buildings and other gondolas, and like there's a celebration going on in the city far below you, how do you see where you guys need to go? Hello, couriers, and welcome to the Midroll. I'm Drew, your host and narrator. We'd love to express our gratitude to a few of our Kickstarter backers for their generous support of Season 2. John Solicitor, thank you so much. Are you Celius? Thank you. Colleen McGuire, thank you. James Quigg, thank you so much. Alice Kira, thank you so much. Corvus Regis, thank you. Robert F., we appreciate you, thanks. Tucker Maltby, thank you. Michael Sepkett, thank you so much. Oot and Cutie, thank you so much, you guys. Thank you all, and we are so grateful for your generosity. We're going to keep this mid-roll nice and short, my friends. At the end of the episode, we'll have a new Dear Aunt Audra letter, and it's a little sillier, and it runs a little longer than usual. We hope you enjoy it, because we know we did. And now, with all that out of the way, let's get back in the sky.
Singing way, hey, ho.
How do you see where you guys need to go?
So the desert is beyond the Spire District.
Yes.
And it's shrouded in darkness. So I think what Kieran does is shades their eyes and kind of squints into the distance. And it's definitely straining to catch a glimpse of this. But it's that thing where if there's a little bit of a flash and they catch a glimpse, they kind of keep their eyes trained on that spot and only make them move when they see that flash again in a different place. So they're very quiet, they're very focused. And if there are adjustments that need to be made, Kieran kind of just calls them out. I think we need to go a little further to the left, or full steam ahead.
Perfect. And so we see this moment, Kieran, when you get to the front of the boat, and we see you focus in, and the world kind of falls away. The sound and all of it, of Cece like talking to this gondolier. And we see that through the buildings, through the towers, you catch a glimpse of, there's a flash.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they're going, there it is again. And you pinpoint it, like it's right over there. The gondolier goes, oh, all right then, I'll take a right here. Here we go. Hang on, kids. And he like turns, and we see the gondola whoosh, kind of move its way off to the side and begin to move its way through the buildings with you calling behind you to like move left or right. Because it then registers with you, Kieran. This man is also blindfolded.
Oh, yeah.
And he continues to be blindfolded, even though you guys are moving through these buildings. But he seems to know what he's doing, even though he's blindfolded.
There's a lot of trust in this moment.
There is. And the other thing that you notice, Kieran, is that the macaw comes down and comes to where you are.
Mm.
And like when you say something, it says almost the exact same thing.
Mm.
And the man moves with each one. June, tell me what you're seeing.
So this raptor is really just enjoying the warm thermal air drafts that it's riding. Its wings are spread. Every now and then it flaps a little bit to get some height and then kind of sails down in a slow, lazy spiral. It's enjoying the night air. I think at one point it sees like a smaller bird maybe or a bat or something and like dives after it and turns June's ride into kind of like a unexpected roller coaster moment where like she feels like the way the muscles of the bird tense and the way it shifts its body position to dive after this creature. It doesn't catch it, but it's more like it's just playing. It feels like it's kind of showing off and just like enjoying the evening. But they do get closer to where the signal was being sent. So I would like to see if June can see like who is sending the signal, because I think one of June's concerns is that the red feathers are already involved, and if we are walking into a trap, June wants to know. Does that make sense?
Okay. It is pretty far out there still. It's going to take... I mean, the bird was pretty far out to begin with. Like, the bird continues to make its way out into the desert. And I don't know if it's... I think it's a little too far away to see who exactly this is.
Okay.
But it can begin to get a sense of, is it a group? Is it a single person? Stuff like that. So here's what I want you to do. I would like you to roll a D8. You're still in the magic. Mm-hmm. So we're going to use a D8 to see what this bird is doing. You got to beat a 6.
It's an 8.
There you go.
Nice.
Oh, wow. That's really good. With that 8, the bird is able to kind of look harder, I guess. It focuses up, basically. After being distracted from like a bat and kind of showing off, it's like, okay, it focuses up. And it sees a field of broken airships that have been half buried in the sand. And it goes on forever. And there just seems to be tons of these ships that have been broken out here. And in one of these ships,
there seems to be a small group of people. Probably less than 10, but more than 5. The bird is bad at numbers.
Yeah.
There are some.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's more than just one person. And the bird kind of sees this from far away. And it's up to you to decide whether the bird gets closer or whether you pull back or get out. What do you want to do next?
I think June urges the bird closer, or like asks the bird to go closer. Because I think the main concern driving her right now, like I said, is, are they red feathers? Are they, is this a trap? Are we, have they already beat us here? And, but also, who is it that we are handing this book off to?
That's perfect. In the calm of the sky, we see the bird receive your request, and it agrees and moves in closer. And we pull back to Cece and Kieran and this gondolier, who's, you guys are kind of moving through the buildings and through the city, heading towards the outskirts of it. And we catch this gondolier going, yeah, my name's Jasper. It's a pleasure to meet you, Cece. Pleasure to meet you too, Kieran. This is my bird, Faith. Say hello, Faith. Hello.
Hi, Faith.
Faith is the one who kind of helps me make sure that we're going in the right direction, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Cece's a little stressed out. It's been a time. I imagine that all of this is happening. It's been a very short amount of time since we've landed, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's been at least, it's been like less than 5 minutes.
Cool. So she's like, that's great. I'm sorry. I'm kind of just freaking out. And she grabs June and she's like, June, come back to us. Where are you? Because Cece just went on a magical adventure that ended in barfing up fish. So yeah. It's like, June, come on. Where are you? Come back to us. Let us know you're okay. Give me some kind of sign. Send us something to let us know that you're fine. Because part of me thinks she hit her head.
Okay. Oh. So we see that. Oh, this is really interesting. June.
Yeah.
I'm going to roll a D8,
mm-hmm.
which is the magic that's going on with you.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to roll a D8 too.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll contest the two of them, and we'll see which one comes out higher. Because if mine comes out higher, the magic has still got you so hard that you can't even hear your friend calling for you.
Oh, interesting. I was going to suggest the opposite.
Oh.
That mine, if mine is higher, I can't hear her.
Let's do it. Let's do it that way.
Ooh.
She's in a bird's head. Why
You're
would you
in the
leave?
Bird zone? Like, why would you be leave? Listening in June noodle?
All right.
What'd you get?
The bird zone.
Got an 8.
Gosh. I rolled a 4.
Oh,
so,
gosh.
Like, it's... June, I want you to tell me what it's like to be this bird.
So, like I said, I think in the beginning, it was June sort of being like, Garçon, I'd like to order some soup, please. And the bird was like, yeah, cool, I can help you with that. And then it was sort of June riding shotgun in this very sleek, very fast car, right? Like, very comfortable, smooth ride, super fun. You know, there's a bat. We're going to dive for it. We're going to let it go. It's fun. It's fine. I'm not hungry. It's fine. And then she was like, oh, yeah, no, I got to check on this signal. I got to see who's out there. And the bird's like, yeah, cool, groovy, let's go. And I think that as the longer June is in this zone... in this one bird's head, the more comfortable it gets. So it goes from her being like a person at a counter asking an employee for assistance, right? To a person in the back seat of a taxi, to a person in the front seat of a car that's being taken for a test drive.
And I think that's where you are. And what I want to do is you've now raised your magical stress to a D10.
Okay.
Cool.
Oh. Boy.
Oh, no.
As you get more comfortable being this bird.
Yeah. Like, I feel like it went from being like...
That's a D12.
Yes. From the front seat of the car to now, like, June's like in a hammock and chilling. And this bird is like, yeah. And then we do this. And then we do this. And look at my claws and look at my feathers and look at how great this is. And June's like, yeah, this is great. This is super great.
As we pull back from that, now that we kind of hear in the distance, we hear Cece kind of screaming your name, trying to get you out of it. But you continually kind of push it back as you become more and more this bird. And so, Cece, we see you over June, like, trying to wake her up, and she's not doing it. And as you're trying to do that, you look up, because you catch movement out of the corner of your eye, and you see behind the gondola, and there are three other gondolas approaching you guys in a line, and there seems to be a gathering of people in, like, purple and yellow coats and various bits of, like, armor and things, and they look like they're heading towards you.
Would we recognize these coats as, like, the local constabulary, or...
Oh, that's a really good question. Kieran, I would love for you to roll just a clever.
Okay. Ooh. I got a 7.
That's great. Kieran, I want to know how you know that these are Youngblood privateers.
I think Kieran kind of glances over their shoulder at Cece shaking June and trying to snap her out of it, and then looks over the gondolier's shoulder to see this line of gondolas chasing them now, and just trying to keep as much panic out of their voice as possible. Cece, we might have a problem.
What is it?
And Kieran just points behind the gondola.
Cece looks over her shoulder and sees these people chasing her and is just so angry. Like, it has just been a day. Mm-hmm. There have been so many people chasing her that she just lets out like this and doesn't know what to do with it, but is like, God, if June were here, I'd know what to do. I feel useless.
As you are saying that, as we see the gondola maneuver its way between two buildings and around, as you guys are basically coming to the outskirts of the Spire District, you're about to, like, head over. You're about to drop off from the mesa, and just there's just open sky. You guys are basically making your way that way. We see that. We see these three gondolas going probably as fast as they possibly can begin to gain on you guys. My question is, what do you do?
I've bargained with madmen who claim to be kings. Sing it, way, hey, ho. And I've seen the destruction their tempers can bring. Sing it, way, hey, ho. I've ridden the winds over mountain and plain. Sing it, way, hey, ho. Just to circle the coast and curse the mariner's name. Sing it, way, hey, ho. My father, he told me to never deceive. Be a voice to the hopeless and help those in need. And to ever be thankful for what you've received. Sing it, way, hey, ho. Sing it, way, hey, ho.
At the bottom of the Red Audrin, there is what's called the mail room. And off to the side of the mail room is a small closet, if you will, that is where the mail is sorted. And that is where the three of you are right now.
I feel like we sorted it all.
It's done.
Way ahead.
You're right.
At least for right now. Like, we've got stacks of organized mail, like, per stop that we're going to... we've got everything, like, checked and cross-checked in a spreadsheet, and we are chilling.
Yeah. It's important to take, to when you get your break, to take your break. So Cece is there coffee? We have coffee, right?
I feel like we have something that you have treated like it's coffee.
Yes.
Whether it's water or, like, cider or something.
It is really strong apple juice.
Water with powder in it. That's disgusting. It's bean juice. It's roasted bean juice, like our world's coffee, but it's of course called something like real fantasy in this.
Oh man, what's it called?
Hot
bean water.
What's it called?
Hot bean water.
Wait,
I don't think we can call it that.
Hot bean water? No.
Can we not?
But can it come from the Honey Smoke Mountains? Because it seems like everything wholesome is coming from there.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Peaches and jam. So, you know, so, Oh, it's called Smoke Rise.
Smoke Rise.
Oh, nice.
I love it. I'm going to write
you drink it
down
in the morning, obviously. So Cece is having her cup of Smoke Rise, and she's just stirring the spoon loudly, staring off into space like, oh, man, it's important to take a break.
Like,
what does it taste like? Wait, I need to know.
Wait. So, oh, okay. Because we have like a sign on the wall that says the office, and we have a sign on the wall that indicates the water cooler. We yep. have like a drawn picture of a window that you're staring out.
I'm looking out the window, and I just sometimes, June caught me gazing, and I'm just stirring this endless spoon in the Smoke Rise mug. And I go, you ever worry that we're not getting any younger? Oh, sorry. I spaced out on my break.
You okay, Cece?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just, you know, trying to enjoy my cup while I can, you know, mm-hmm. before we get back to the daily grind. And then I wink at the camera. No, but Drew, to answer your question, what's Smoke Rise taste like?
Yeah, what's it taste like?
It's think coffee, right? But like a good one, where it's got this like, it's a lot nuttier than our coffee. It's like if you were to take the taste of like a smoky, chocolatey brew, but with ooh. A lot more roasted almond kind of flavor.
So it's like if mochas were actually good.
Yeah. Mm, or it's like
brutal.
Like
brutal,
a little,
but fair.
Like a little bit of, like a, not amaretto, but that kind of almondy syrup kind of thing, but naturally. Yeah. So it's like a that. Smoky almond type beverage, but with a little hint of coffee.
I love that.
Yeah.
And so, Cece, as you sit there drinking your Smoke Rise, there is a at the door.
What's the password? Oh, it's Ruby.
Oh, Ruby.
Come in.
Come on in.
Oh, okay. And the door opens a little bit and we see Ruby's head pop in. Hi, guys.
Hey, Ruby.
Hi.
How's it going?
Can I come in here for a little bit?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Welcome to the break room. You know, we're just here taking our 10.
Karen,
come on
like,
in.
Shuffles over, moves over several stacks of mail very carefully.
Yeah.
June pulls up a crate for Ruby to sit on.
Mm-hmm. And we see Ruby come in, and she shuts the door, and she goes and she sits down, and she lets out like a big, long sigh and kind of puts her head like against the wall.
Everything
feel
okay?
That.
You okay, Ruby?
Yeah, I'm just tired, that's all.
Is there anything we can do for you?
Oh, no, just let me be in here for a little bit.
Sure thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you whatever
like
you
some
need.
Smoke rice?
You want to take this 10 with us, Ruby? We're taking a 10-minute break.
Yes, sounds great. I'll happily do that. I did smell smoke rice. Can I have
some? Yeah,
absolutely.
Procures somehow a glass and plastic coffee decanter.
Nice. Yes. So we do. We have a nice coffee decanter, but I think Smoke Rise is only made using AeroPress. It's like, you know, you have to push the pump down.
Okay. So Karen's just working the pump for a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like,
working
it's
the
this
pump
very awkward squeaking noise.
Into what we call it the crystal decanter, but it's
watching.
Really not that nice. It's like a jar.
They were going to throw it out of the kitchen, and we rescued it.
We see Ruby's face, like, scrunch a little bit, and she goes, where did you get that?
We rescued it.
Yeah, they were going to throw it out of the kitchen, because the handle's a little broken.
Oh.
But we fixed
it. I was wondering where that went.
It's made of cardboard now. The handle's just made of cardboard now.
Welcome to the coffee shop, Ruby. This is also a mail room, relaxation room.
Cafe.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's everything, then. As she sits there, she goes, oh, by the way, I had a letter that was for you.
Oh.
And she reaches into her pocket and she pulls out a little envelope that says to Karen, Cece, and June.
Oh, cool.
Thank you for bringing that.
Do you want me to read it like last time? Or?
Sure.
Well, if you'd like to, but you know, you said that you needed kind of a load off. So if you'd like, one of us can read it.
That's also true.
You know what? I would like one of you to read it. That'd be nice.
Okay. Kieran, you want to take this one?
Okay, sure. Kieran hands the magical decanter to June.
And they'll clear their throat.
Oh, Kieran, you seem to have dropped your stack of papers. Be careful. Hold on. CC kneels down, picks them up, and hands them to Kieran.
Thanks. Okay. Sorry. I don't know. I guess pumping the decanter all the time is just making me a little clumsy. Wow. This is a really long letter. Dear Kieran, June, and CC, as apprentices who recently began training in a new and difficult profession, I'm hoping you can provide some insight into what helps you learn the various aspects of your trade. That's a really long sentence. You see, as a master in my guild, I've recently taken on a new apprentice, and while they appear eager to learn, they also seem a wee bit terrified. All the time. Of everything. Oh. That sucks. They seem most afraid of making mistakes and asking questions. I've tried to reassure them that those things are just part of the learning process, but they still seem nervous a lot of the time. To be fair, our line of work does involve an element of risk. I'd be lying if I said there wasn't at least some chance of death, dismemberment, or doom. Oh. It's just that most of our guild members thrive on that the way a cannon relies on gunpowder to fulfill its purpose. Do you have any advice on how I can build their confidence? Do your senior crew members employ any particular teaching methods that help you learn and feel good about your progress? Kind regards, Master Ereton Tuft, Redacted, Guild of Redacted.
Redacted?
That's a cool guild.
It says Redacted.
Yeah,
yeah, they're like hidden, like some, like maybe they're spies.
The Guild of Redacted, I like it.
Is Redacted a place?
Advice. Hold on, 1 second. Oh, gosh.
How's that smoke rise, CC?
Oh, it is hitting the spot. Also, the name of our cafe, can it be the Hummingbird?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry.
We see on the outside of the door before, there's like the office and like that little paper sign. Yep. And underneath it, there's the Hummingbird and another like paper sign.
There's a little Hummingbird drawing in the corner.
Yeah.
The Hummingbird really does hummingbird make the best brew.
The Hummingbird has sunglasses and like a beret.
And is holding a cup of coffee.
A scarf. It's like, ugh. Yeah.
So back to the letter.
So I have advice as someone who has recently learned a ton of skills that were very hard and very intimidating. And I was around a lot of experts. And I can say, first of all, you're only nervous because you care. Am I right? Am I right, squad?
Yeah.
You know, when you care, you're nervous because you don't want to make a goof and you don't want to look like a buffoon. And you want to do a good job because you give it to. So that out the gate, I got to say, this person cares an awful lot.
Mm-hmm.
But building confidence,
Well, it's been my experience that if someone is afraid to make mistakes and ask questions, it's because someone has punished them for doing that in the past.
Yeah, good point.
So either this master... Ereton Tufty? What did you say, Kieran?
Ereton Tuft.
Ereton Tuft is either a bad teacher or someone in the past punished them for making mistakes and asking questions. So maybe be a little more patient.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
It's a tough thing. Building confidence is a tough thing because confidence comes from, as someone with not that much, confidence comes from experience, a crystallization of experience and wisdom. And those two things combined give you a confidence. You could perhaps say that confidence is a belief that your actions and words can shape the world around you. There is a causality and effect to the things that you say and do. And that comes from experience and wisdom. I read that on the inside of my coffee label, on the inside of the sleeve. But I think that with time and experience and good guidance, that this crystallization can occur in this apprentice.
Yeah. I was going to say the things that have helped me in the past, like when we were novices, learning stuff for the first time, you know, the best thing that I found from teachers was when you do a good job, they tell you, and they tell you why it's a good job, right? Like,
yes.
obviously we're all trying to learn new things. We're trying to do the right thing, and we're trying to, you know, hold up our end of the job, whatever the saying is. But if we do something right, it's good to find out, you know, hey, you did a good job with that thing, and here's why. Because then you can do it again next time, right?
You know what, June? That kind of brilliance and wisdom, crystallization of power, you get a gold star. Cece puts a gold star sticker on a little board that says, right wrongs, do mercies, take flight.
I agree. Thank you so much. Thank you.
That sometimes you just have to find, like, teachers and captains aren't always going to be able to do everything to help someone feel confident. Sometimes you have to have friends who help you do that too, because they get it in a way that, I don't know, a teacher might not. So, like, we give each other gold stars, and that helped me a lot to gain confidence.
Mm.
Hey, can I see that letter really quick?
Sure.
Hang on, wait. Just want to point out. Yeah, thank you. I just want to point out again. I just want to point out that I think it's important for us to recognize also that this Master Ariton Tuft indicates that the job this apprentice is learning is very, very dangerous.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's perfectly natural to be nervous and to feel like maybe they're scared to ask questions or make mistakes because it could end in dismemberment, death, or doom. Like, that's valid. Right. So maybe reassuring the apprentice that everyone feels that way,
or starting
making them feel less alone, you know, that might help build the confidence that, you know, they can get through this.
It's true. Lifting people up is a valuable skill to have, and learning how to not just execute a task without risk of dismemberment or death is one thing. But, you know, being a good player is one thing, but being a good coach is another skill in general.
That's
true. Anybody. You can sing a song, hum a tune, cast a spell, but teaching someone how to fish, you will feed them for an eternity. You need to teach this person how to fish, literally and figuratively.
Yeah, I was about to ask if it was like a literal thing. To
always literal. When it comes,
everyone should know how to fish, according to Cece.
It's true. When it comes to,
it's true. Everybody
Cece's
should.
Really good.
When it comes to snagging lips, is what we call it in the trade. When it comes to snagging lips, you know, you always want to. If you're gonna fish, you better bring somebody who's a complete noob, which is an acronym for something that I don't know. However, you always got to bring a noob with you so that you can teach them the trade. So it's important to understand that not everybody starts the same level of expertise as you. And to pass on that knowledge is what is important. You know, it's sort of like this book I read once. It was called One for All. And it's about a crystallization of power passed along generation to generation. So it's a 100-page book at the moment, still more to come. However, yeah, it's about this concept of one for all, where one person starts with a skill, passes it on to the next generation. That generation, it gets way stronger. They pass it on, and so forth and so on, until by the time that it comes to this apprentice, their power is incredible and they can change the world. So I would say, don't be afraid, because I am here, but also pass down that one for all.
You know what? I like that a lot, Cece, Ruby says as she stands up.
Cece hasn't gotten up this whole time, by the way. Cece has been like kicked back in a reclining crate chair with her feet up, still looking out the window this entire time, just occasionally pulling a sip from her cup of smoke rise. She doesn't look happy.
Must be so strong.
Ruby says, guys, thank you so much. This was really nice.
Yeah, you're welcome here anytime, Ruby. You know
I,
that. Yeah.
I thank you. I really appreciate that. I think I'm going to go.
Do you want your smoke rise to go?
Oh, no, just hand me the cup.
Okay.
And we see you hand the cup to her. And she puts her hand over it where the steam is rising. And you can see the steam, like the heat of the cup, rise up into like a ball where her hand is. And she brings it up and it becomes kind of like a jelly. that she like begins to take a nibble of, and she goes, and she hands you the cup back, and it's ice cold now. Oh. She goes, "Thanks," and she opens the door, and she walks out.
Bye, Ruby. Have a nice day.
Bye.
Iced smoke rise for Diane. Iced smoke rise for Diane.
That's it. That's the end.
That's it. That's it.
Thank you for listening to Skyjacks, Courier's Call. Cecilia Witwick was played by Aaron Catano-Saez, who can be found on Twitter at Aaron Catano-Saez or on the podcast All My Fantasy Children. You can further support Aaron's work in voiceover and worldbuilding at patreon.com/AaronCatano-Saez. June Hymnal was played by Allison Grauer, who can be found on Twitter at Dreams to Become. You can further support Allie's creative work at patreon.com/WhimsyArtifice. This episode was also edited by Allison Grauer. Kieran Rao was played by Palomi Pertep, who can be found on Twitter at PalomiSP. You can hire Palomi for layout and graphic design by visiting her website at palomipertep.com. And I'm Drew Merzieski. You can find me on Twitter at Worlds to Forge, and can further support my storytelling and creative work at patreon.com/whimsyartifice. The original score for this program was composed and performed by Arnie Parrott, who can be found on Twitter at Arnie Parrott. Official artwork was created by Jess Kraczynski, who can be found on Twitter at AngryArtist113. Courier's Call is a spinoff of Campaign Skyjacks on the One Shot Podcast Network. The setting of Sphere was inspired by the music of the Decemberists, and the game Illimat by Keith Baker, published by Together Studios. This podcast uses a modified version of the Cortex Prime system, designed by Cam Banks and published by Fandom Tabletop. Skyjack's Courier's Call is a part of the One Shot Podcast Network. Other One Shot podcasts include
Design Doc. Join hosts Hannah Schaefer and Evan Rowland as they redesign their first role-playing game, Questlandia. Design Doc is an experiment in public participatory analog game design. It's fun, it's messy, and you're along for the ride. And remember, while our show is rated E for everyone, this show was created by adults for adults, so listen at your own discretion.
That's all for this week. Until next time, heed the call, couriers. Right wrongs, do mercies, and take flight.
I'll tell you, my children, there's much I don't know, but the wind, she will take you where'er you must go, and it's better to age than never to grow. Sing and wave.